downhill side of Wednesday. Raj Taylor and Denny Cooley, the trifecta, is now in play. How you doing, Denny?
Good to be with you, Roger. How you doing today?
I'll let you know at 5 o'clock when this is all over. We're in strange seats today,
yeah,
and
we'll
try to work this all out. It feels like summer out there. This is not my kind of weather.
Yeah, I'm a summer guy.
So,
doesn't bother me. You just go into air conditioning if it gets too intense for you.
Yeah.
You know, I got to throw this out there. I got another first-time listener out there today via the internet, WKZO.com, listening in from San Diego today.
So, well,
we had a bunch of them yesterday and many more coming up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Listeners far and wide. I'm guessing they have better temperatures today than we do. 91 in Kalamazoo. And we'll talk to Bob Larson later in this hour and see how long this heat wave goes on. Hopefully today's the end of it. If I recall the extended forecast, down in the lower 40s tomorrow night. And so I'm hoping this is the end of the hot weather, but Bob Larson will let us know.
They say, I think, by the weekend, a high temperature would be in the 60s.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Now we're talking. That's still shorts weather in my case. I wear shorts till Thanksgiving, regardless of the weather. Years ago, I had a UPS driver when I had a store who wore shorts all one winter simply because it bugged his boss. The UPS contract says that drivers must wear UPS clothing. But it doesn't say what season they can be worn in. And so his wearing UPS-issued shorts qualified as appropriate dress from the contract perspective. It made his boss mad. And so all winter long, he ran around with red legs. Just to make his boss mad. Secretly, I thought his boss was probably laughing. But
yeah, I think so. The brown rebel.
Yeah. That's what happens, I guess, when you have a union. Both sides want to use that to their advantage. Well, why don't we get the show started? Should you choose to chime in, 877-382-4280. And locally, you can just call us at 382-4280. Other than that, do you think we ought to start the show, Denny?
I think we're ready.
Okay, let's go. WKZO time is 3:12.
Very nice, by the way.
Yes, an organ version.
It sounds like pregame or pre-mass at St. Augustine's Cathedral.
Well, the acoustics were right. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Well, first up on the docket today, you know, the Michigan State Legislature has been on record multiple occasions of being opposed to tax increases.
Right.
There's been a couple of exceptions. The first one is raising taxes on people's pensions so we can give tax breaks to corporations. That was the first tax increase by our legislature. And if the Senate follows through, there'll be a second one. Online retailers like Amazon and Overstock.com would be required to collect and remit sales tax for internet purchases from Michigan residents under the legislation that was approved in the House today. Without debate, the House Tax Policy Committee approved today a two-bill package to close loopholes in the state's existing sales tax laws that allow consumers to buy goods tax-free from out-of-state online retailers. The Michigan Treasury Department estimates the state will lose nearly $290 million in uncollected revenue from the 6% sales tax from internet commerce yet this year. And so in my mind, this is yet another tax increase by our present legislature, which has been anti-tax when it comes to fixing our roads, funding our schools, but now raising the collecting sales tax, which to my mind is a tax increase. Denny, am I out in left field? Is adding out-of-state purchases to your Michigan sales tax obligation, is that a tax increase?
I think it can be defined as such. Anytime you create a tax or increase a tax, in my mind, it's a tax increase.
Yeah.
And I know a whole slew of people who shop online for virtually everything but groceries, and you can even do that, you know, if you really wanted to, but like, you know, holidays, birthdays, that type of thing, people that I know are doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, one can see the point that if you go down to your local retailer who is paying taxes here in Michigan, both property taxes and being the collection agency for the state sales tax, and if they have to collect and give that money to the state, the out-of-state retailers have an advantage in this case. But I'm not certain that this passes a smell test to me, that this isn't just another tax increase. If you've got a thought, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Is this a tax increase, or is this just the legislature trying to level the playing field? Monday, when we were doing the trifecta from Old Peninsula Brew Pub, Gene Clem stopped by, one of our local Tea Party people, and he said he was opposed to raising taxes. On the line, Margaret O'Brien. Margaret would have some firsthand experience with this. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, Roger and Denny. How are you?
I can speak for me. I'm fine. Denny's a little busy at the moment, but he seems fine. We'll go with that.
Well, you were talking about Main Street Fairness, and I wanted to share some information because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And once people hear what's true, it changes it. The first thing to know is the legislation redefines nexus. What currently nexus means in Michigan is somebody with a physical brick and mortar store. And so anybody with a physical brick and mortar store is obligated to collect and remit sales tax on behalf of the buyers in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean that when you or I purchase items on the internet or even out of state, that we don't own sales tax. Rather, if no sales tax is collected on our purchases, according to our state law, we must pay a 6% use tax. And so when you buy, you still owe. The difference is that retailer isn't obligated to collect and remit on your behalf. Now, I'm one of the rare people that, from what it sounds like, actually pays the taxes I owe on my tax bill every year.
Uh-huh.
We calculate our out-of-state and internet purchases that were not subject to sales tax, and we pay that. So this is not a new tax, it's not an increased tax, and it's not an expanded tax. This is merely redefining who must collect and remit on behalf of the buyer. The buyer has always owed it.
Margaret, I understand what you're saying. One point of clarification. Now, say I'm traveling and I'm in New York State and I make a purchase and they collect New York State sales tax on that item. I don't have any Michigan sales tax obligation in addition to that, do I?
No, the only time that you would owe Michigan sales tax on a product of which you paid sales tax in another state is if that state levies a sales tax less than 6%, then you would owe the difference between the 6% and what you would pay. And what it does is it's trying to create a level playing field so that it wasn't penalizing the brick and mortar stores who, like what you mentioned,
uh-huh.
they pay personal property taxes, corporate taxes, they pay income payroll taxes, and they support our local charities. But all of us, when we buy a good, all of those goods use the same roads. They use our infrastructure to get delivered. So what we're trying to do is our world has changed. We're trying to redefine who has to collect and remit. And there are major companies who advertise in Michigan and say, buy from us and you don't have to pay sales tax.
No,
well,
yeah.
That's not
yeah.
exactly true.
Right.
What they're doing is they're inciting you to
break
buy
the
from
law.
Them because they're cheaper and to break the law.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get into a discussion with Gene Clem, the Tea Party person I referred to a minute ago, but it was clear his thought process led him to believe this was a tax increase. Why would there be some Tea Party people who would see it differently and see this as a tax increase from a legislature that promised never to do that?
You know, I can't speak for Gene. Gene's a good guy, and I'm friends with Gene.
Oh, and but I was a theoretical. Why would, leave Gene out of it. Why would a Tea Party person view this as a tax increase?
You know, I can't speak on why the Tea Party, but most people who come to me and say, I can't believe you're raising taxes, they had no clue they owed it to begin with, or somebody told them you can get away with paying without paying taxes. You know, the conservative principle is the broadest, is the fairest tax. And so if we want to implement the most conservative principles on taxation, you want to have the broadest tax. And that means enforcing the laws. And if we have have developed in their way of getting their product to market, locating just one state where they have a certain amount of sales in our state, they should be collecting and remitting on our behalf. It's pretty easy. I've gone online. You go, you know, United States sales tax collector. You just can punch in the zip code. It'll tell you exactly what the sales tax is owed. This isn't going to be for the mom and pops who sell something on eBay every once in a while or Craigslist. This is for people who are doing big business in Michigan, and they're targeting Michigan consumers to buy products and trying to mislead them that they don't have to pay taxes.
Well, we're talking to Margaret O'Brien, representative from Portage, and Ashtemo Township, Texas Township. Is this opening Pandora's box in difficulty in collecting taxes? Yeah, when you pick on the big companies, Amazon, Overstock.com, certainly, those are big businesses and worthy going after. But what about sales from small internet companies on eBay? Are we still going to depend on taxpayers being honest and saying, yes, I made this purchase from a small person, not a business, but a person in California? How is the state going to track that sale to collect the sales tax?
Well, what we're doing is redefining nexus. So when you reach a certain threshold, and I don't have the number in front of me, I want to say it's $20,000 worth of sales in Michigan, then you have to collect and remit on behalf of the buyers. So, you know, your average person who sells something on eBay or Craigslist, that's not going to impact them. If you don't like to track receipts and you just don't want to have to deal with it, on the Michigan tax reform is a very easy calculator that estimates, using a statistical average, what percent of, based on of your income, how likely you are to have bought something on the internet. And you can put in your own number. You can use their calculator. You can choose to do it. You don't have to be have the exact figure. Now, what was interesting was Marshall Music Store, Mr. Marshall, he came and testified. He talked about how people come into his store, they spend an hour talking with him, testing out an instrument, asking a lot of questions, and they whip out their phone and say, hey, I can get this on Amazon or whatever site for this much. I want it for that price. And he says, but I can't match that price. And they go, okay, well, I'm going to buy it there. So they're using the local retailers to shop and to touch the product, but then buying it from someone else.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to support our local businesses.
I had a customer walk into my store. I used to sell binoculars. And yell at me that the binocular he wanted to buy from Eagle Optics wasn't in my showcase so he could see it, hold it, and play with it. And he said, how am I supposed to buy stuff on the internet if these companies don't force you to have samples in your store so I can come look at it? And no, I understand what the guy from Marshall Music was concerned about. Been there firsthand myself.
Well, and I have to say, I agree with both of you about shopping locally. I don't do anything with any chain stores. I like to shop local for everything. However, if there's a significant price difference between something that you would get either at a competitor locally or online or wherever it might be, obviously, you want to get the better deal. I mean, that just makes sense.
Well, and
I'm
a lot
sorry,
of people need to get the better deal.
Right.
They can't afford the higher price.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
You know, it's about a competitive playing field. And if we know that we have a major retailer that has a huge internet presence, spending a lot of marketing money in Michigan, and they're creating a competitive advantage by getting you to purchase a product and trying to tell you you owe no sales tax, that's not an even playing field. Like, I'll pick on Gazelle Sports. I love Gazelle Sports. Been shopping there since I was 16 years old. And I go there. Do I sometimes pay a little bit more for my running shoes? Maybe. But you know what? Those people know athletics. So when I say, hey, these shoes didn't wear the right way or I'm having this issue, these people bring a service. And so I happily pay more if it happens to be more. I don't worry about lowest price. Are there things I'm going to care about lowest price? Absolutely, but most of us, when we shop local, we know that we're also buying a service along with the good.
I completely agree with that, absolutely. Yeah. But again, you know, like Roger alluded to a moment ago, that there are some people that need to save money, you know, in what they're purchasing, whatever that might be. The thing I can never understand is the people that buy clothing online, because I would like to try it on, you know, I mean, to actually try the clothing on, whether it's a jacket or slacks or whatever. I couldn't do that, buy clothing online.
And, you know, and that's very fair, Denny. And if we're real honest, the people that the out-of-state companies are targeting are not the people with little money. They want us to make those big, expensive purchases
right.
online.
Right.
They're not targeting, you know, I was a single mom and ate I ate the Meijer macaroni and cheese, and it was 33 cents a box.
Right,
you know,
right.
They weren't targeting people like me because, you know, the people who are really struggling, they're probably not on the internet shopping and doing all this. They're out there looking for deals and working hard. They're really targeting the people who have some disposable income or are making big purchases. And I just want to make sure that our local businesses can compete with everybody else and then let them set their prices based on what they think they have to offer. But to give everybody else a 6% off-the-top advantage, plus they're not paying personal property taxes, plus they're not paying property taxes, and everything else down the line, that's not fair to Michigan residents or Michigan businesses.
I agree.
Thanks, Margaret, and we'll talk to you later.
National delegation reacts.
Ed, you've been waiting patiently, and you've got about 30 seconds. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a very patient person.
Attaboy, Ed.
I'm a small business owner, but to make a long story short, I agree with Margaret. Problem is people need to realize the overall impact, what's going to happen to us in the future if they consistently buy online and don't pay tax. Bottom line, I mean, you buy a product online, where do you go when there's a problem with it? I tell customers that all the time.
Great point.
Hey, thanks, Ed. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, CBS Ed. News is next. .341, Roger, Denny, and joining us now, Bob Larson. Bob, how are you? Bob? Hello, Bob. We...
Talk to Bill?
Oh, hold on. Now we have Bob. Bob?
Hello, Roger.
Yes, I pushed the right button now.
It's a heat stroke, I think.
Yes. I'm not doing well. It's hot.
It is.
91 out there.
Okay, 88 at the airport.
Well, we're in that group.
We're in that shot range.
Yeah. Tell me, how long do we have to endure this?
About another 9 hours.
Thank goodness. This is the last 2 days have been some of the hottest weather we've had all summer.
As a matter of fact, yesterday's official high of 94 tied the hottest we've had the entire summer. We're going to fall short of that today, but it's certainly in that neighborhood. So yesterday on par with the hottest day of the entire summer. Pretty amazing.
This isn't uncommon, though. We get hot weather in September.
We do. It's been a while since we've seen it this hot in September, but certainly... it's not unprecedented. As a matter of fact, we've had some 90-degree readings. If you look through the record books, there have been some 90-degree readings even into the first week of October. Mm-hmm. So it has happened before. It just has been a while. And I guess we were due for this, given the cool August that we went through.
Yeah, and generally, September's nicer than April.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, on average, it is. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's also a time of year when we start to get pretty significant changes. Whereas yesterday and today have felt like July, the front that comes through tonight and with the secondary front that comes through tomorrow night will not be followed by the type of weather that we have after front passes in July. In July, after a 95-degree day, front goes through the next day, maybe 85, and it's less humid. Nowadays, at this point in September, we go from this type of heat to a high of 63 on Friday and lows in the mid-40s. So it's much more of a significant change. A change that will occur in stages over the next few days won't happen all at once, which is how I've chosen today's word.
And the word is?
The word is transition. We will transition back to cooler weather. Won't happen all at once. First front crosses the area tonight. Very disorganized showers and storms scattered about the front right now. We're not looking at a solid line of storms by any means. So that tells me that it's just going to be kind of spotty hit and miss activity tonight. I think the greatest risk of a shower or storm here is between about 8 p.m. and midnight, maybe 2 a.m. And after that, it begins to cool off, 65 by daybreak. Last night's low was 74, so it is cooler. And then tomorrow, not exactly cool, but certainly a lot cooler than the past couple of days. Highs in the 70s, lower humidity. Second front comes through tomorrow evening, should come through dry. But it will turn much cooler behind that front. 46 tomorrow night,
ooh,
and a high of only 63 on Friday, back into the 40s again Friday night.
Bob, when it's this warm, abnormally warm here, that means it's generally cold someplace else. Who's cold to give us this heat?
Not much across the continental U.S. right now. It has been cooler than average across the Rockies and the Southwest, and the desert Southwest, but cool by their standards. Is certainly not cool, just cooler than average.
Yeah.
You go to the Pacific Northwest, it's much the same as here in terms of above average temperatures, probably into the 90s before today is over in Seattle and Portland. But in terms of a lot cooler than average, you have to go up into portions of Canada where even by their standards, it's cooler than average across the central Canadian provinces. And a piece of that cooler mass is coming this way in the days ahead. But I can tell you this, Jay asked me this yesterday, so would this be the last 90-degree day we see? And I said we come close today. And I do believe that after today we're done with the 90s. But we are not done with the 80s. I'm fairly certain we'll jump back above 80 again at some point next week, maybe Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to the 9 more hours of this heat.
Okay. Set your watch.
And I've started the stopwatch.
Okay.
And I'll give you a report card on this tomorrow.
Okay, very well.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, 91 degrees. This is not my kind of weather. Let's talk to... we have to set up. There we go. Hi, John. I assume you're still talking about the raising or collecting sales tax on out-of-state purchases. Am I with you?
Roger, that's why I called.
Cool.
Your program is like a breath of fresh air. A few months ago, we're going through similar... thing like this. We called them, people were complaining that they're taking their freedom away from them. I should have the right to not pay my dues or taxes, or right to work and right to pay taxes or not to pay. And it sounds like it's just the same thing all over, but we're talking to a different crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if you heard Margaret O'Brien's comments earlier this hour, but Eric Nesbitt, her counterpart just to the west, he voted no on this bill. I have no explanation for his no vote, but I have heard the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party talk of this being a tax increase, and that may very well have been what motivated Representative Nesbitt. And so you would prefer a no vote on this. Is that what I'm picking up?
No, I'm not. I like to pay my share.
Okay.
So that's not a no vote, correct?
Right.
And also, that comes to other things, you know, and it goes on and on. And it's a two-way street. You have to give and take.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate it. Thanks, John. You have a good day. This does level the playing field. And this does increase the amount of funds that the legislature has to work with. Maybe we could do something with our highways in the state. Maybe we could fund education better. And we've got one more call coming in. And why don't we call this topic quits with this call? And we'll see what this person's thoughts are on the collecting of sales tax. I guess they didn't want to go on the air with us.
No, actually, that was a call. We have an accident, automobile accident, at Portage Road and Winters Drive out in front of the airport out there.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure exactly how many vehicles involved, but lanes are blocked right now.
Okay.
And
northbound, southbound, did they give you any details?
No, both lanes are blocked both ways.
Okay.
But that's Portage and Winters Drive up by the airport in Portage, and lanes are blocked, so try to avoid that for a while.
Yeah. And certainly weather was not a factor in this accident. This portion of the trifecta is brought to you by Bronson Children's Hospital. Walk and 5K run on September 29th. Register at bronsonhealth.com/walkrun. And Children's Hospital there, a great place. And joining us now is Chris. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Holy smoke, you snuck me in.
Yeah, and you're not even up against a hard break.
All right, well, I'll try and talk slower then.
Hey, how did you like that pumpkin beer Monday?
Geez, tell everybody. God, I was trying to keep it away from my wife. Now, hey, honey, I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, you do. Hey, honey, he's lying. Hey, Chris, I'm assuming you have thoughts on the sales tax.
I have some thoughts on the sales tax. Well, first of all, I'd have to say that, like whoever was speaking was a dentist that said that generally speaking, if you raise a tax or create a tax, that is considered a tax increase. I would go with that.
All right.
But in this case, let me give you the Margaret O'Brien
answer.
This tax is on the books. This isn't a new tax. It's just a mechanism of increasing enforcement. That they aren't inventing something. What do you say to that?
Okay. But I just find it funny that the government's response to making something fair is to tax somebody else. So I don't know whether or not it's a new tax. I mean, I could go with the legislators' expertise on this, but you know, the mantra of this is this makes it fair. But there are so many things that make business unfair, and is government going to solve all those problems, or are they just going to, you know, are they going to raise taxes on people who have some unfair advantage? You know, I'm in construction business, and I can name 100 ways that another company can underbid my company and get work away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to raise taxes in order to make that more fair for me?
Well, or, I guess my thing is, Chris, is that as long as it's legal, that's competition, and that's good for business, actually, overall. I mean, I'm not saying that another company is better than your company, because I don't know that. But if they're apples to apples, you know, and if they're able to come in with a better bid than you do, that's just competition.
Well, but then cost, you know, we're talking about a 6% cost advantage to somebody who's buying online. And I very rarely buy online, but there are occasions where I cannot get something local that I would buy online. And I do go kick the tires at the store, but typically out of loyalty. If I'm kicking the tires at a store, I'm going to buy it at that store. And for a bunch of different reasons. I want local business to be in business. I want to support the people who are going to, in the end, service my purchase, you know, with support. Or, you know, there's a whole bunch of reasons why I do that. And there are very few reasons that I buy stuff online, mostly if I can't get it locally. But now, you know, in the interest of fair, going back to what we were talking about, we're going to, the only solution to this is to raise taxes on Amazon or eBay or whoever else. But why don't we look at it the other way? Because in the end, I'm the person who pays the tax increase. And in the end, why don't we do something to incentivize the local business that gives them a 6% discount to do business with local businesses or local customers? And instead of punishing everybody, why don't we reward
So your approach to fixing this problem would be to stop collecting any sales tax from anybody. The Michigan businesses would be on a level playing field with out-of-state businesses.
Not at all. You're putting words in my mouth. What I'm saying is the purpose of taxation is not to make things fair or unfair or to punish or to reward. The purpose of taxation is to give the government the money it needs to do its job.
And that's, but Chris, they're arguing that's what they're doing. You've been obligated to pay that tax on out-of-state purchases all along.
Sure.
And this is just a way of enforcing an existing law. You see it as a new tax.
Yeah, I do see it. If they're going to enforce something that hasn't been enforced, and I really don't want to, you know, get into the tall grass on whether it's a new tax or you know, any of that. It just is funny that government's solution to making things fair always seems to be to tax somebody else. It's not fair that these people have more money, so let's tax them. It's not fair that business is profitable, so let's tax those people. It's never, you know, let's find a way to increase somebody's wealth. It's always, how do we take wealth from somebody else?
Chris, you became Heartbreak Chris. Have a good afternoon. News is next.
Thanks.